blackbird has spoken, like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing, fresh from the world.
The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Hello. Hi. How are you? How are you doing? How are you finding this? Now, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for myself, and I'm going to admit that this is all still quite weird and a bit odd. But here we are. And it does bring me a lot of comfort to know that although I'm here on my sofa, you are there on yours, or your armchair, in bed, sat on the floor maybe, that you've got a cup of tea or coffee, maybe some toast, a little fancy pastry, oh, maybe a bacon sarnie or a big bowl of cereal. It brings me joy to know that even in this time that we are still able to gather together, even if it is virtually. And if like me you're awful at names, let me remind you of mine, or if we've never met before, hi. I'm Stephen, and I'm lay pioneer for the Ely team, and I also look after Christchurch, which is one of the churches in the Ely team. And I just want to say welcome, wherever you're joining us from, whether it's for the first time or the millionth time. You are welcome, and I'm pleased you've chosen to join us here today. And at Christchurch we have this prayer that we always pray when we gather together, and I thought maybe we could say it together now. And it goes like this. Let's say this together. May this time be good for us, in body, mind, and spirit. For we gather in the presence of God, who made us and loves us and will never leave us. Amen. Amen. And at the moment, we're in the middle of a series about life in the Spirit. And today our topic is healing. We'll be hearing more about that from Chris later on during our message. So don't fast forward. Well, I mean, you can if you want to, but let's journey together. And as we embark on this journey of worshipping together, we're going to have the opportunity to sing together now in one of my absolute favourite hymns, an utter classic, How Great Thou Art.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy path throughout the is played. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think of God his Son thus sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul. what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow with humble adoration, and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul,
for our readings now. Our first reading will be read by Ruth, and it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 10 to 12. And our two gospel readings today will be read by Jessica and Annabelle. They are Luke 5 verses 17 to 26 and John 20 verses 24 to 29. After our readings, we'll head straight over to Chris for today's message.
We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you.
One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy, who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today."
Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
Good morning, everyone. I don't know about you, but I have a few scars from my childhood. There's one here on my top lip, when as a toddler I ran towards a chair that I used to stand on to wave my dad off to work from the lounge window, and my tooth went through my lip as I went headlong into it. And there's another on my forehead, when momentarily distracted, which was my normal state back then, I went over the handlebars of my bike, head first into a lamppost in a local cul-de-sac. We all have scars, don't we? Some of them will be the little accidents of childhood. Some might be the gashes from a heart operation. Some might be from an otherwise joyful event like a caesarean. Some scars are there for all to see, but others we try to hide. But then, of course, there are the countless inner wounds. Grief that will never quite heal. Wrongs that have never been righted. Memories that can't seem to be erased. Unkind words that can set us off at any moment. Or the knot in the pit of our stomach caused by a seemingly ordinary event. I have these. I walk into a room and I find myself wanting to run home. I walk into a meeting and remember that French teacher with the cane. I hear a few notes of a song and I start to cry. I sense a smell and I remember my terrible mistake. This is true of all of us. We all have scars inside and out. The story of the risen Jesus described to us this morning by John has Jesus twice showing his scars to the disciples after he rose from the dead. Jesus' resurrected body is different. It's somehow more physical than before. He can navigate locked doors. Yet it still has evidence of his death. Which is a surprise, isn't it? Surely the risen Lord would have a body as smooth as a newborn baby's, made whole again, demonstrating his triumph over all our wrongdoings and death itself. But no. There were his scars for all to see. There was evidence on his body for Thomas to check. Will this be true of us? Will I still have the scars? Will I still have no hair to speak of? Worse still, will there be knife wounds? Will there be scar tissue from that punch? I'm not sure. The Bible clearly indicates that our bodies will be renewed, along with the earth in the last days. So why then did Jesus still have his wounds? Well, we know that for Thomas, Jesus' wounds were proof of his identity. The Lord who conquered death, who entered the depths of human pain and sin. His wounds are proof that his work is finished. They demonstrate the cost of that work. Most of all, they show that we are loved more deeply by God than we can ever imagine. When I became a Christian, I was young and naive, and I assumed that my newly found faith would make me immune to life's trials. Funnily enough, I've just rediscovered a letter here, which I wrote to my mum and dad from Coventry 3 days after I became a Christian. 8.5p postage, in case you're wondering. My faith had already changed everything, even days after I began. I had a new confidence because I felt love by our Heavenly Father. What could ever touch me now? Surely I had emotional immunity now. But having reached 63, I can tell you, I was completely wrong about the immunity thing. Christians do feel pain and sadness. The darkness in our minds isn't instantly dissolved. We still have our doubts. We still fight addictions. And in church, we are surrounded by other people who are just as broken as us. Yet it is true. There is nothing that can separate us from God's love. And his Spirit is powerfully present in our lives, healing us more and more each day. Yes, it is true. Coming to faith is the greatest day in our lives, and it starts a process of healing. When Jesus showed the disciples his hands and his side, they were overjoyed, but they would immediately have been taken back to the pain of watching Jesus die, the guilt at not being able to stop it happening, the emptiness of Easter Saturday, the loss of hope they felt at that point. But in seeing Jesus' wounds, they could begin to grieve for those inner scars. They would have cried tears of relief and tears of joy, and their healing could begin. The wounded Christ is the heavenly Father of a wounded people, a wounded church. There is scar tissue everywhere you look. We could try to pretend otherwise, but we don't really fool anyone. Anyway, who'd want to join a community of mask wearers? It's a great witness when wounded, broken, forgiven people unite in praise to our Heavenly Father. I recently came across the recollections of the surgeon Richard Selzer in his book Mortal Lessons, and he recalls, "I stand by the bed where a young woman lies, her face post-operative, her mouth twisted in palsy, clownish. A tiny twig of the facial nerve has been unavoidably severed in the quest to remove a tumour in her cheek. Her young husband stands on the opposite side of the bed, and together they seem to dwell in the evening lamplight, isolated from me, private." The young woman speaks. "Will my mouth always be like this?" she asks. "Yes," I say, "it will, because the nerve was cut." She nods and is silent. But the young man smiles. "I like it," he says. "It's kind of cute." All at once, I know who he is. I understand and I lower my gaze. One is not bold in an encounter with God. Unmindful, he bends to kiss her crooked mouth. And I am so close, I can see how he twists his own lips to accommodate to hers, to show her that her kiss still works. When Jesus greeted his fearful disciples, his scars were like that kiss. His scars conformed to their wounds, saying, "I know your wounds and I love you still." We know that Jesus' wounds are still there in the book of Revelation. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." Jesus' wounds are eternal. The wounded one is worthy of heaven's praise, and he bears our wounds. So yes, we are shaped by our wounds, but we are not defined by them. We are defined by Jesus' love, Jesus' grace. We are defined by Jesus' kindness, his adoption of us into his family. Jesus' work ensures we are no longer defined by that unforgiveness, that bitterness. We're no longer stunted, no longer unable to move on. We are no longer missing out on the blessings that God wants to bestow on our lives. So how does this healing take place? Well, we heard in our Luke reading that wherever Jesus went, stories of his healing went before him. God's power is clearly at work in him, and because of this, Jesus is drawing the crowds. People showed up in such numbers that when a cumbersome little procession of men arrived at the door carrying their paralysed friend on an improvised stretcher, they couldn't get in. This man's four friends, we can imagine the hope they had for their friend. We can imagine their determination to carry him to Jesus. We can also imagine their doubts. But we can imagine their disappointment on being unable to get near Jesus because of the crowds. And we can imagine them hatching a plot to bring their friend to the cool, refreshing, life-giving healing water that they had heard Jesus was offering. Jesus couldn't miss their ingenuity, taking up some of the roof tiles and gently dropping their friend down to his feet. It was obvious to him that they had belief, that God was at work and their struggle to get their friend there at his feet would be worth it. Jesus saw the mustard seeds of their faith and is stirred into action. I imagine Jesus' bedside manner was something to behold as he assessed the patient. And then he said to the man, "Friend, your sins are forgiven. You have been put right with God." It's curious that Jesus starts the conversation with, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The men hadn't come for that. They brought him because he was paralysed. But imagine the consequences in your life. Everything that you've ever done wrong, forgiven. Everything you've ever said, have thought. Everything you've brushed under the carpet, forgiven. There is so much to forgive, isn't there? Jesus knows we are body, mind, heart and soul together. God's grace is holistic. He's interested in our whole selves. Life in all its fullness means healing and forgiveness. It means renewal of body and mind and heart and soul. Jesus is literally saying, "I'm sending your sins away from you. I'm separating you permanently from them. You are free." When any of us come to Jesus today, with even a grain of faith, he delights and responds. The unexpected can and does still occur today. But Jesus wasn't finished, and he says to the paralysed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he'd been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We've seen remarkable things today." As often happens with Jesus, he did far more for this man than his friends imagined. It was a healing more complete than their wildest dreams. And we too today can still pray for healing for our friends and for ourselves. Jesus is at work healing and restoring his world and healing and restoring his people, us. We can pray for our own healing or ask others to pray for us. But don't forget, Jesus began with forgiveness of sins and then moved on to the physical healing. When he heals, it will be holistic. It will be healing of the whole person. And the power seen in Jesus' disciples is available to us for our daily practice. Like Thomas, we can encounter the authentic Jesus, whose wounds are a dignity, not a deformity. A sign of his love, not a sign of his loss. And we can receive Jesus' power to continue his work today. It doesn't mean we become conjurers, performing spectacular tricks to impress people. Many of the things which God's power achieves in us, like putting secret sins to death and becoming people of prayer, remain hidden from the world and remain hidden even from our fellow Christians. But to some among us, will have been given the gift of prayer for healing. I've noticed on quite a few occasions when I've been asked to pray for someone, something remarkable happens. God's healing power seems to be released. It's not always like that. In fact, it's not very often like that. But sometimes it is inner healing. Sometimes it is a healing of the mind. Sometimes a physical healing. And it encourages me to continue to pray for healing and to encourage you to pray for healing. When we are praying for someone's healing, we are lowering them through the roof to the presence of Jesus. So who are you lowering down to see Jesus at the moment? And you don't have to do it alone. Maybe you can pray together with a few others, each taking hold of a corner of the mat, as 21 of us actually are doing now at morning prayers each day on WhatsApp. And you would be very welcome to join us. Just let me know. Shall we pray? Let's start with forgiveness. Remembering that God's grace renews us holistically, inside and out, let's bring those things that need forgiving to him. In the knowledge that he will send our sins away from us, separate us permanently from them. Let's have a moment of quiet. Can I invite you now to join in with these responses? O God of life, grant us your forgiveness for our careless thoughts, for our thoughtless deeds, for our empty speech, and the words with which we wounded. O God of life, grant us your forgiveness for our false desires, for our hateful actions, for our wastefulness, and all we left untended. O loving Christ, hanged on a tree yet risen in the morning, scatter the sin from our souls as the mist from the hills. Begin what we do, inform what we say, redeem who we are. And now, Father, we pray for healing, inner and outer, a renewal of body, mind, heart and soul, recognising that if we come before him today with even a grain of faith, he delights and he responds. Let's again have a moment of quiet and let God speak words of life over us. Heavenly Father, by the power of your Spirit, may your blessing rest on each of us today. May we be made whole in body, mind and spirit, restored in your image, renewed in your love, ready to serve you as sons and daughters in your kingdom. In the name of God and trusting in his might alone, receive Christ's healing touch to make you whole. And may Christ give you his peace. Amen. And finally, let's commit to being those who carry the mat for others. Let's pray for friends and neighbours, which is something we can do during this time of coronavirus. Thy kingdom come has begun, and we're praying for 5 people each to discover Jesus' love. So go and find the app online and pray for their healing, inner and outer, for their forgiveness. Amen.
We are.
Let us now affirm our faith together. Please join me in saying these words. Do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. And now we're going to hand over to Stephen for our prayers of intercession.
Today we're on the fourth day of the International Thy Kingdom Come prayer programme, where we're encouraged to pray for five people whom we know to come to faith in Jesus. After each prayer today, I shall say, Thy Kingdom Come. You can respond, Thy will be done. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that after your powerful resurrection, you went back to heaven, that you're enthroned in glory there, that are receiving our prayers. And when we pray according to your will, you will answer us. We pray for the people we know and love, who don't yet know you as their Lord. We long for them to share the joy and peace we have. So we bring them to you in prayer in this moment of silence. May their eyes be opened, their hearts warmed, their sins forgiven, and their spirits quickened by the depth of your love for them. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen. Now we're going to pray about the COVID pandemic. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, the fallen and marred creation has let loose an ugly and cruel virus. We're witnessing a worldwide epidemic of disease and disruption. But we have also seen a greater epidemic of caring and compassion. In this country, thousands have suffered, but millions have responded with the healthful qualities your Holy Spirit inspires: love, joy and peace, patience, kindness and gentleness, goodness, faithfulness and self-control. We pray that this horrible disease will soon leave us, but that the rainbow of neighbourly caring will remain and flourish in our streets. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen. And a prayer about healing, which we've been thinking about today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you were sent to help and comfort God's people. Among your blessings are the precious gifts of healing. Many need your healing today, And so we pray for those who are seriously ill, for those who are bereaved and lonely, for those who are distressed in mind or spirit, for those who are filled with fear or hatred, for those trapped in addictions or compulsions. We pray also for those whose home or workplace is harmful or dangerous, for those oppressed by our structures and systems, for ourselves and the sins, vices and habits we harbour. By your power, bring healing, forgiveness, release, new life and joy. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen. Lastly, we pray for each person watching this service. May their hearts be gladder, their load be lighter, their way be clearer, their faith be stronger, their joy be greater, their future be brighter, through Jesus Christ, their Saviour. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen.
Let us conclude our time of prayer by saying the words of the Lord's Prayer together. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Our final song today is called Thy Kingdom Come, and it's been written for this season, inspired by that line of the prayer we've just prayed together. Although the words are new, it's actually the tune to the hymn Tell Out My Soul. So let us join together in making this song our prayer for our country.
Thy kingdom come, Lord, teach us how to pray, for all to know your joy, your peace and love, and know your friendship each and every day. The breath of Christ the Father's gentle God. To make us one, that see truth and care. Nations renewed in giving thanks and praise, to see God's kingdom come. This is our prayer.
I want to say a big thank you to everyone who contributed to today's service. Without you, we couldn't be bringing these services together every week. So thank you. You make this possible. And if you'd like to help one week, please do get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. So thank you to everyone who's been involved so far. In this spirit of togetherness, of us all playing our part, let's say this closing prayer together. God of power, may the boldness of your spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your spirit lead us. May the gifts of your spirit equip us to serve and worship you, now and always. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here with me this morning. From my sofa to your sofa, I want to say how great it is that we can all gather together like this. Please do tune in again next Sunday when we'll be celebrating Pentecost together. So if that intrigues you, maybe you've never heard about Pentecost, or maybe it's one of your favourite days in the church year, why not tune in next Sunday? We'll be right here in the same place. So for now, let me say this closing prayer. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, Amen. Amen. I've been Stephen. You, as ever, have been great. Hope to see you soon. Bye!